Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Beyond the Beats. We're really excited to have you guys here with us for episode 16. But before we get started, Alec and I just want to give you some updates and some reminders about the coming weeks for Beyond the Beats. So next week's episode is going to be an artist spotlight with Trip Trop, but you guys should definitely check that out. Those guys have such a cool sound. They have such a great way of working with each other. They're actually brothers who produce music, and they're from California. And we've featured them on the show before, but we had a really fun conversation, and we got a chance to preview one of their new tracks that they have just released. So definitely tune into that episode there. And then one more reminder, Alec and I talked about this on our EDC Vegas special last week, but if you're going to be at EDC Vegas, definitely keep an eye out for our big Beyond the Beats flag. We're going to be waving it loud and proud, and just feel free to come up and say hello. We're really, really friendly people. Come dance with us. We'll give you guys a little gift as a token of our appreciation. So without further ado, here is episode 16.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Beats. Samir and I are so happy to be back again talking about what we all love, electronic dance music. Samir, how are you doing?
Bro, I am doing great. I'm so pumped. By the time that the listeners hear this episode, I'm actually going to be hanging out with you, dude, in San Francisco. So I'm pretty pumped up.
I know, man. We've got to get some, sightseeing in a little bit of that before we take a big long road trip down to Las Vegas.
For sure, dude.
I think, for anyone that is on the West Coast, that's quite a nice drive. It's a long one. It's funny because a lot of my colleagues have been saying like, why are you driving?
It's so funny because I've been hearing the same thing. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's why do you save a lot of money? Right. Well, not a lot, but it's, a decent chunk of change. But it's also like a nice road trip, and
for sure. We have other drivers in the car, too. So, I think we can split up the driving pretty nicely if it comes to it,
Exactly. Yeah. And, I like my road trips and I'm used to them. But also, I was just telling my colleagues this, too, that if you think about it, it gives you just a nice amount of flexibility to bring things,
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Since we're all getting a hotel room, right? We'll bring over all the stuff that we need from like Costco, those type of things. So it's
very
just
true.
Nice having that flexibility and doing it. So shout out to anybody else that is driving to EDC. Hit us up on social media if you've got like a drive or a drive playlist. We would love to, take some videos of you guys driving. If you're driving though, please no videos. Just have the passenger do it. Have to put that out there.
Yeah. And if you guys want something fun and exciting to listen to on your road trip or your flight out to Vegas for EDC, definitely check out our most recent episode from last week where we talked about EDC Vegas and we went around the Speedway spotlighting artists from all the different stages at EDC, which is, Alec, a ton of fun to do, right? I mean, I had a really, really fun time doing that.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and I think people really enjoyed it too. So I just really quickly want to thank everybody so much for your support of the podcast. We've gotten so many wonderful and nice messages from people like all around the world and all around the country. I gotten them through WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram. So thank you guys so much. And we really hope you guys continue to enjoy the show Beyond the Beats. We love putting this together and we can't wait to have more fun conversations.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well said. And thank you everyone for just continuing to listen in. And hopefully we can continue to provide you with good quality content. Speaking of which, it's probably time to, I'll give a little quick overview of what we're going to be talking about today. Lots of new music from this week. Unfortunately, we had to cut some down for the purpose of time, but we've hand-selected some songs which we think that you would like. This includes the likes of Avicii. That's the second song that's going to be off of his upcoming album, his posthumous album. We've got Duke and Jones. They've got released a new song. If you remember, listeners, I think it was back quite a few episodes ago, we talked about them, as well as, this is not necessarily a good song, but Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike teaming up with Paris Hilton.
Yeah,
we'll get to that one. And then on the new music front as well, we've got a very, very special exclusive just keep your ears out for that, not your eyes. You can't see us, so you can just listen.
Right. Thank you, Alec, for clarifying
yeah,
that.
Just to clarify, you know, not to be looking into your phone, just, you know, with blankly. Then for the news and culture section, we're talking about Moonrise. Another interesting note on Dimitri Vegas that you have to look up for him on the big screen in the movie theaters, believe it or not. There's a relatively new festival out in San Diego, or outside of that San Diego, that which we're going to talk about. That's Desert Hearts, if anyone's heard of it. And then Arjuna Beats live streaming from Twitch in San Francisco. Wow. It's unbelievable. Really catering to those Gen Zs. It's really cool, right? Then we've got our classic anti-plur, as well as rounding it off with the two probably classics and staples of our podcast, the What We're Listening To section and the artists that we're watching. As always, we've hand-selected some pretty awesome people to talk about. So,
oh, yeah. All right, Alec, let me ask you, man, what has been on repeat for you this week?
I used to get so scared of falling hard.
So, you know, I actually mentioned this back in the EDC podcast last week. So listeners, if you're interested a little bit more, you can go back and listen to that. You know, we can post the timing on that too in the show notes of this week's episode. But this is going to be a fantastic song that's probably just one of my favorites right now. I've been listening to it on repeat, not just for this week, but for a very long time. That is Quix's Giving Up. Just take a listen. You'll absolutely love the drops on this. It's just unbelievable song with a great build-up and a fantastic drop. Just listen to this. So as you can see, it's just, dude, I love it, man. Like, I really think Quix is just starting to develop his own sound now, you know, and he's just doing a really good job of it.
I'm so pumped to see him at EDC Vegas, dude. And yeah, this ever since you showed me this song last week, I've been hooked into it, man. I've added it to a few playlists that I keep track of.
Great.
So yeah, dude, great pick.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear. So, yeah, listeners, definitely go back to our last episode, the EDC special, if you want to hear more of our thoughts on Quix. And we also feature the song and talk about it in a little bit more detail. But Samir, my man, and our man's, we got to talk about our man's Avicii, unfortunately.
Yes.
Rest in peace. But his second song, Tough Love, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, dude. So, you know, we just got a new posthumous release from Avicii. The song is titled Tough Love. It's featuring vocals from Agnes Vargas. You know, I gotta say, dude, one thing that I was really, really kind of surprised about was the fact that this song had such a kind of Indian influence into it, right? I mean, I think that really
kind of
piqued up my interest.
Was it Indian?
Yes, it was. Yes, sir, it was. And my girlfriend and I were both pretty stoked on that. So it was.
Wow.
It's just cool. It's like fun hearing new sounds like this, man. I really love when artists try to, you know, go outside the mold and try new things, and it was really cool. I wouldn't say it's my favorite as compared to SOS with Aloe Black. I actually like that song more, but again, just very happy to see creativity being pushed and pushed and pushed, and, you know, I just love that we are still getting some new Avicii music while he rests in peace. What did you think?
Yeah, man, you know, I agree with you. It's not, you know, my favorite of his songs, and I also agree that SOS is, for me, is a little bit better. But you know what, as with all of Avicii's songs, right, and I think every songwriter, composer, you name it, every artist would agree with this, that Avicii really knows how to just nail melodies just incredibly well.
Yeah.
And you know, I think if you go back to a couple of the documentaries, I know I've mentioned this, but just people were always flabbergasted by his ability to just, you know, on the spot, come up with a new melody. And so this, you know, song may not be the best in terms of, you know, it's not something I necessarily always like go out and dance to, right? You know, it's something that I'm definitely willing to put on and just, you know, listen in the car and stuff, because it's just, it really is, it's such a well done song, and it's actually quite beautiful in a way. And, you know, Samir, I had no idea that was like, I didn't know it was an Indian influence per se. I knew it was some
type
of...
Well, now you know.
Yeah, so definitely I'm going to go back and listen to that now with a newfound appreciation for some of that.
For sure, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
But Alec, you put a very interesting thing on our show notes here. Definitely something I would not have picked up on because I'm actually not much of a rap music fan. And but this is, I guess this is interesting. So tell me, Alec, Eminem and Logic, right? They came out with a song called Homicide. What's up with this?
Yeah, so, you know, I, you know me, and I'm not a rap connoisseur either, and I don't really listen to hip-hop and rap, but this caught my eye just because I always used to be a fan of Eminem, and I do like some of Logic stuff too. This song is just really good. So just to preface it, listeners, if you haven't heard it, it's not anything EDM, it's typical rap. Wouldn't be surprised if we will be hearing some flips. You know, this is also why I wanted to put this in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
Exactly. Like, even if there's no flips or remixes, I could definitely see people doing like some live edits with
like
it.
Like mashups and
stuff. Exactly. So, Samir, keep your ears out for this one because this could be played at EDC. I just have a feeling it's got kind of like it's got the beat that's good enough to keep, like, you know, people moving and dancing, but it's also got Eminem and Logic who just have, you know, awesome rhymes on it. So good song from them both. Moving forwards, we've got Dombrowski and Lucati, who we also mentioned on our EDC episode. Dude, what do you think of this song from them?
This is just two freaking powerhouses in the house music scene. First of all, Dombrowski, dude, is just dropping absolute heat these days, man. All right, Soul Sacrifice, banging ass song. Okay, Simple Hit, another song that just came out, great track. And now he did a collab with Lucati that was released on Tool Room Records. Dude, great track.
It's a fantastic track. And I just realized we didn't even like say what it's called, but it's called Like This.
Right.
Sorry, we got a little ahead of ourselves there, listeners, but definitely
I just got pumped.
Definitely check that one out. It's out. You can find it on Spotify. Another good one from somebody that we've always enjoyed, Matroda, with his song Bang, featuring Dances with White Girls, still one of my favorite house DJ's names.
I never even heard that name before, dude.
Dude, he's actually done, or they have, you know, to be honest, I don't even know if it's a guy, gal, or duo. I need to look into that. Probably should have done that before, but anyways, exactly. They've been doing some stuff with, like, Chris Lake and, you know, they've been around, man. Like, you just wouldn't recognize it immediately, I don't think. But I have a feeling that Dances with White Girls is something we're going to hear a lot more from in the coming months.
Awesome, dude. Great. Thanks for your thoughts on that, man. And then this one right here, this is an artist that we featured on a previous episode. We got Duke and Jones with their new release, Surrender, right? So tell me about Surrender. What'd you think?
Yeah, man, I really liked this one. And for some reason, I thought this was out already. I'm not sure. Perhaps I was listening to a mix by them and they played it, which might be why I thought it was out. But regardless, this is a fantastic song. It's, you know, stays in line with Duke and Jones's, you know, revolution, mini revolution, should I say, within the trap scene. It's just great, focusing on the low ends. It's not, you know, the big drop and off of like a big build up, but it's just got, you know, a little build up in there and just focusing on the low ends, and it's just so sweet and it just wants to get you moving. Did you feel that way too, Samir?
This was released on Dead Beats Records. This is Dead's record label.
Wow, well done. That was pretty, that's
thank
hard,
you.
That was
yeah,
hard
that was
to put together.
That is, it's too much. And so, you know, these guys, Zed's Dead, they really knocked it out of the park by signing this record. And Duke and Jones, I mean, we've talked about them before. They are massively, massively talented. And Surrender is a perfect encapsulation of just how talented they really are. So this is a good find, and I'm glad that we got a chance to talk about this track. Dude, they're blowing up. I feel like they're getting more and more notoriety, and they're signing to bigger labels. So I think this is great.
Yeah, they really are. So I think this year is going to be a big year for them. And then going into 2020, I have a really good feel. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, on some bigger stages at festivals and stuff, which I'm hoping, I'll cross my fingers for.
Dude, let's switch gears. Let's talk about some freaking techno, somebody that we are big fans of. We got Umek, that's spelled U-M-E-K, with his 19119 EP. So that's just a bunch of numbers, 19119 EP. I don't know what the significance is of those numbers, but you know what? You can always expect banging quality tracks from Umek, and this is certainly, you know, this is definitely a testament to that. What did you think, man? I mean, my favorite song from this was The Trope. This is a three track EP. One of them is 19119. Another one is Tonal Shift. And Yeah, and then we got The Trope. So what was your favorite track off this one?
You know, man, I'll go with you and say The Trope, but, you know, to not be boring, I'll also say that tonal shift I really did like.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed with 19119.
Yeah, it didn't grab me, dude. It didn't feel like anything too crazy.
I know. Yeah. You know, that was kind of a little bit... It was a bit minimalistic for my taste, right? Like, don't you think?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Just because it's not exactly what I was expecting them from. But you know, overall, this was a really good EP. And if you like that really hard-pounding techno, definitely check Umek out and this EP. But I really like this. This was just a very solid release all around. And it's nice to see them out, you know, producing some good new music. And hopefully this means there's more going to come from them.
Totally agreed, man. And okay, so we just talked about some good music. All right, let's talk about some music that might shock you, actually. So we got Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike. So already, look, if I may just preface here, already a duo which I absolutely despise. And then on
Jesus,
top of that...
Jesus, oh my lord.
Yeah, I do. I do not like these guys. And then we got... Okay, you got listeners, you guys ready for this? All right. We got Paris Hilton. This is already setting up to be really bad. And now for the title of the track, it's called BFA, which stands for Best Friend's Ass. Let that sink in real quick, listeners. Where do we even start? I mean, I don't even know where to go, dude. Like,
I will say,
I mean,
the only thing about this song which I can say I just found it entertaining rather than enjoyed it as a piece of music. But the lyrics were really kind of funny.
They were funny.
I will say it was really funny. I remember playing it and then my girlfriend was like, "What the hell are you listening to?"
Right, right.
I'm like, we're talking about your best friend's ass.
Right.
Like, Jesus.
Do you remember like the week before, like it came out this past Friday and like the week before I texted you a picture of this song, like with the album cover or the track art. And I was just like, dude, look at this. Look at what is coming. And then finally, it released last Friday or this past Friday, and I was just like, Alec, listen to this shit. Like, it was... It's basically, in my opinion, a copycat of Selfie by the Chainsmokers, right? You got, like, that kind of, like, annoying, you know, woman, you know, who's just, like, talking on the track, you know, saying kind of dumb things, and then, you know, you got a pretty generic, shitty drop. And, you know, I used to like Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike a lot, actually. Like, when I'm talking when Big Room was really big, like, back in, like, 2012 to, like, 2013. But, man, I really do not like these guys anymore. I just think that their sets are not great, number one, and then they're constantly talking on the mic, and it's just I don't know, man. Their whole vibe is just really, it really throws me off.
Yeah, you know, man, I was wondering, is this just like a publicity play, or did they actually try? I don't know. I'm reading like an article, you know, I read an article on EDM.com, and for whatever reason, I'm sorry, like, to this author, but I don't know why she was into it. It's just not a good song.
He said he was into it?
She did. She was just mentioning it in quite a positive light, you know?
Well, and everyone's got their own opinions.
Or maybe she hadn't heard it before. I don't know. I can't really tell from it. But it seems like this might be kind of a serious release. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I feel like it was not a serious release. Like, I feel like, all right, we got Dimitri Vegas on Like Mike. They're teaming up with Paris Hilton. So already got a name that's going to grab some eyes. And then the song is titled Best Friend's Ass, BFA, right? Already, okay, wait, like, what's up with this? Like, this is a really weird kind of conglomeration that's coming together. And then the track, you know, just kind of reminds you of Selfie, which also went viral and blew up. So, you know, I think all in all, it was just meant to just catch... you know, turn heads and, you know, catch ears and just...
I think so too, man. Here's the thing, like, for people, I can't remember the name, God, it's going to kill me, but on Netflix, there was this documentary about kind of social media influencers, and Paris Hilton was featured in it, and they really cover quite extensively. But she has been doing a lot with DJing recently.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
so this might be just a way to kind of, like, you know, if she just released something that was probably even like, you know, it was decently good, right? I feel like it wouldn't get that much traction so far.
No, you're right.
Right? But like, she had to just kind of come out and just with a couple people, you know, she needed somebody who's like big, well-known, and that, you know, is relatively mainstream, like a lot, relatively. I mean, they are the epiphany of mainstream, sorry. Like, the absolute epitome of mainstream, you know, and I guess because it was just not, it's catchy and just horrible, you know, kind of like the Chainsmokers selfie. So yeah, maybe that this kind of was like a publicity stunt all along.
Before I get more heated up on this song, let's move into somebody that we like. Hannah Wants. She's got a track called Love Somebody, and she's so talented, dude.
Honestly, it is just fantastic to see this, like, just another amazing release. Like, this is just a great song. You know, for people who don't know Hannah Wants, you know, definitely go check her out. Smash that follow button on SoundCloud.
Oh my God, absolutely.
And Spotify. She's got some big, big hits, but this is just another one that's just going to add to it. This is just perfectly in time for, you know, I really hope that someone, you know, a tech house DJ at EDC plays this song.
Guys, if you like house music, you're going to like this song a lot. And Hannah Wants, her whole discography is just really, really splendid. Very well done. So great find, man. Great find. Thanks for, you know, telling us about Hannah Wants' new track. And before we move into the news and culture section, first of all, just want to say thank you to Javex. That's spelled J-A-V-A-X. We had featured him previously as an artist that we're watching on the show. Super nice guy. And he is allowing us, and he was nice enough to let us preview his brand new flip. And you guys, first of all, should know, his flips are insane. Alec, do you remember the name of the song that you had mentioned on the podcast?
Yeah, I believe it was, it wasn't a flip actually. I think I mentioned it was Take It.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, unbelievable. And just to say, like, you know, ahead of time, pardon my French, but this flip is fucking awesome. Holy shit. I'm not kidding you. This is just absolutely bloody. It's just insane. It is absolutely insane. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Nightmare, but this is 10 times better than your VIP. Of this. I'm sorry. I'm calling it out here. I guarantee you Nightmare's gonna hear it and he's gonna play it.
Wow, Alex.
I think he will, because this thing is just fire. I mean, look, Nightmare, you know, the original was great. You know, already is like, that's kind of like, you know, more of a rap song, right? And then he did his VIP of it, which was also really good. But that just shows how much, like, this is just such a great song, right? It's not no slight against Nightmare. Like, this is just such a good flip. Like, it just goes so well with it, you know? And I feel like it's a really hard song to put a trap drop with, actually, you know, to fit it in and make it seem very seamless. And just, it's just fantastic. And it just goes so hard. Sorry, man, but this is just,
I love, awesome. No, dude, thank you. No, awesome. I'm like right there with you, bro. Javex, great job. And you know what? All right, let's play this track. Listeners, take a listen to Javex's flip of the song Red Light by Nightmare and ASAP Ferg. Check it out.
Hey, this is Javex, and you're listening to a preview of my brand new flip, Red Light, here on Beyond the Beats.
Next fucking level, all right? And on top of that, that was only the first drop, all right? Second drop, you guys will have to check it out. His flip comes out on May 17th. That's a Friday, so you know what? Start your pregame, start your partying right with Javex's Red Light flip. You guys will not be disappointed. We're going to have a link to it in our show notes once the song is officially released on May 17th.
Well, dude, I mean, you know, you're talking about, like, pregames and start with this. You know, that's the first day of EDC, so we could definitely
pre-game,
deciding to go pretty hard for this. I've already said it. It's just, it's really good.
Love it. Thanks again, Javex, for letting us preview your track. We really appreciate it, and we were happy to do it because it's such a quality flip. All right, Alec, let's do it, man. Let's talk about some news and culture here on Beyond the Beats. Avicii's life story, right, is being sought after for a book and a movie. Did you hear about this? Did you read about this? Complex had put out an article on this.
Well, read a little bit about it, but I think you kind of digged a little bit more into it, Samir, because this is just interesting, you know, and I think this was to be predicted, right? You could kind of tell that this was going to happen.
Yeah. My biggest thing is I just like things to be tastefully done. Right. You know what I mean? Like, totally. I just hope that they, you know, pay a good respect to Avicii and just his impact on this scene, right, on the EDM scene, making it more accessible to folks who you know, probably wouldn't listen to electronic music on a regular basis or really even give it a shot. But when Levels came out, when Wake Me Up came out, you know, his album True, when that all came out, I think it really opened up people to be more accepting of electronic music. So the rights to the biography, right, the book, they have been sold to a Swedish book publisher, Albert Bonniers, for what is reportedly a seven-figure deal. So, you know, that's big money right there. And, you know, I just hope that Albert, you know, who is now behind the publishing of this book, just make sure that what we receive is true quality and tells his story properly and accurately. But I think big thing, right, for me, I just hope that they shine light onto mental health awareness, right? Mental health issues, getting the help that you need. And I feel like I sometimes feel like I see a lot of this in the music industry where artists feel like they don't have a place to go if they're feeling a certain way mentally. Alec, do you know what I mean? Like, totally. I just feel like there needs to be more mental health support and mental wellness support for artists in the industry and everybody in general. But I feel like we need to get more resources and help these folks out. Too many times I've seen, you know, tweets and, you know, posts on different subreddits and forums where an artist is saying, like, I can't do this anymore. You know, I feel trapped. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to see. It's heartbreaking to see.
Totally is, man. I mean, you know, and I think there's two big issues going on right now within this larger issue of mental health, right? You know, you've got mental health, you know, awareness. There just needs to be more resources, as you were saying, just for like even the common, you know, layman, the everyday person, right?
Totally,
like,
agreed.
That's just in general, particularly, you know, in the younger generations, there were some studies that came out showing that how Gen Z is particularly heavily affected by this. So, you know, there just definitely needs to be some more awareness. And, you know, I could talk about this for a very long time, so I won't. I'll cut it short and go to the second point, which is more relating to this podcast and electronic music, is that there's just this lack of, I think, really recognition of a very large scale issue in the music industry as a whole, right?
Yeah.
Like, mental health is just a big, big issue. And if you just ignore all the other genres for a minute, but electronic music, I feel like, is something that really hasn't gotten a lot of awareness from in terms of mental health issues within the EDM scene, just because there's such a strong association with partying and the good life,
right,
and like flying around everywhere, you know, like you see even on their social medias, right, that, you know, DJ Snake always posting these, he's traveling around the world, he's in a, you know,
yeah,
private chartered jet, all these things, they're in nightclubs, they're drinking, they're having a good time, even on the Ultra live stream, right, everyone looks happy, everyone's looking, having a good time, and I think in those periods of times people are, right, but you've got to remember that when you're an artist and there's so much more to that, and only us consumers, right, the people who are consuming their music and going to these festivals and things, right, we're only seeing snapshots of that time. So I think we as consumers need to be a lot more understanding for artists, right?
Because
there's this separation, right, man? And like, you see the tweets have when people, like, they're on Twitter and they're commenting on their things, like if they don't like their song, right? Or a prime example, right, I mean, we talked about it so many times, but with Getter, right, like people, they would never do that if their friend was up on stage.
Yeah,
right,
totally agreed.
They would never do that to him.
We just need to have a better sense of respect for everybody and one another. And, you know, one thing I was kind of happy to see here when it comes to, you know, the biography of Avicii and also the movie rights to you know, his life story here, the family and the people behind the Tim Bergling Foundation. Tim Bergling is Avicii's real name, listeners, just in case you guys didn't know that. They said that wherever the rights to the movie rights end up or the book rights end up, a certain portion of the proceeds from the sales of the movie and the book will go to the Tim Bergling Foundation, which is raising money and awareness to help mental health and suicide prevention.
Nearly 1 year after his passing, the family of electronic dance music artist Avicii have announced they are launching a foundation in his memory, a foundation that will focus on mental health and suicide prevention. The late Swedish DJ's family says in a statement, quote, "Tim wanted to make a difference. Starting a foundation in his name is our way to honor his memory and continue to act in his spirit."
It's just great to see that, you know, even after he has passed, he's still having such a great, positive, profound impact on the world.
Exactly, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, this has got to be done tastefully, but also, I think there's a real opportunity here to, and this is something I think that Tim would have wanted to, right? You know, I think he would have wanted, at least if he couldn't get through his demons, that his music, and not just his music, but his story, could help people who have their own demons and hopefully don't have to go down the same path as he did. But, you know, great catch on this, man, and let's just hope that they do a really good job, because I think they've done a pretty good job with the documentaries thus far. So hopefully they continue that. But
yeah,
going on a little bit more of a positive note, Moonrise, man, like, this is just a festival that I know that we've been tracking for the past few years prior to this episode. Shout out to our friend Birdie, who really kind of introduced us to this festival. But man, this lineup, though, this is just a great lineup,
dude. This is the best lineup I've ever seen for Moonrise Festival. And Moonrise takes place in the Baltimore, Maryland area at Pimlico Race Course. It is August 10th and 11th, 2019. Moonrise is back. It's put on by Steez Promo, and so, you know what, this is great. I mean, let's go right into it, dude. I mean, can you believe it? On the main stage, you got Alenium, Kashmir, Nightmare and Slander doing Good Vibrations, Seven Lions, who we're huge fans of, Tiesto, freaking Yellow Claw, dude. And then, of course, Excision, Griffin, J-Wolf. I mean, Zoo, I can keep going. But Alec, like, tell me, like, how you feeling about this lineup, dude? What did you think of it?
You know, I really like it. I do like it, but I will have to say that it's definitely, and this is not a bad thing, by the way, necessarily, but it's definitely favoring bass music as a whole, right? Like, you don't really see too much of anything else in that, and that, again, like, this is not a slight on it, but this is it, you know, just to be transparent about it, right? If you're not into heavy, dark bass, you know, kind of like bass focused music, this probably won't be the festival for you. Like, there's a few people in there who are lighter, but, you know,
they have a whole tent pretty much devoted to bass music, you know what I mean? Like, it's called the Solar Tent. You got 12th Planet, Boogie T, Peekaboo, you know, Sudden Death, Rusko's in there, Space Jesus. So yeah, Alec, I completely agree with you. But I think that also just shows you, like, what the Baltimore, Maryland area wants. They seem to attract a lot of bass-heavy musicians and electronic music artists.
You know, and I think in general, like, this is kind of a side topic that we can delve into one time, but quickly, I think it's worth noting that perhaps this type of music is becoming more popular at these festivals in the Northeast. There are some people lighter in there, kind of like Zoo, right? A little bit lighter, big Gigantics in there too. But, you know, definitely if you're going to go, expect some darker, heavier sounds.
For sure, dude, for sure. So, you know, and listeners, if you guys have been to Moonrise before, and we have a ton of friends and people that we know that have been to Moonrise, but we're also just super interested to hear your thoughts on it as well. So, you know, definitely connect with us on Instagram. We're at btb.pod, or Twitter at podbtb. We're also on Facebook, and just let us know what's up. Like, what do you guys think about Moonrise? I've heard some great things. I've heard some complaints. Like, I heard it rains there, like, every single year, and, like, it's just, like, a torrential downpour. And, you know, if that's been your experience, definitely let us know. We want to hear it.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Awesome, bro. But, dude, let's move into it. We talked about these guys before at the new music section, but this is kind of interesting, Alec, and I know you did some research on it. Tell me about Dimitri Vegas.
Well, yeah, this will be a quick topic, because this is pretty much hot off the printing press. It's been announced that Dimitri Vegas, right, he is going to be a cast member on the upcoming Rambo 5 movie. I mean, no one really knows what role he's going to play. And, like, you know, and it's like, it's true. It's hard not to kind of laugh at it. But did you know that he's actually appeared in some, you know, decently in big movies before too, believe it or not?
What else has he been in?
So he's had movie roles in, for instance, Disney's Big Hero 6. I don't know if you've heard of that. That was
what?
Yeah.
What? Dimitri Vegas?
Yes. And like, he was given the honor of, you know, that's the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse thing, which was the, you know, that won the Academy Award. He voiced Peter Parker in the Dutch version of it.
Oh, dude, that's pretty cool.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Let me. Oh my God! What was he in Big Hero 6? Okay. All right. So basically, I think he did a voice for the Belgium version of Big Hero 6. But that's really neat, dude. I had no idea.
Yeah. You know. Okay. I think you're right. So I'm just looking at it here. Yeah. This is his American film debut.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but, you know, it's. I believe it's coming out in September, late September of this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's still unclear what, you know, he's doing. I think it's maybe a bit more than a cameo, but I thought that was just interesting to see. Like, I had absolutely no idea that he was interested in into this, but I guess it explains, you know, what he does in between studio sessions.
Well, dude, can I just tell you real quick? I saw Detective Pikachu over the weekend.
Oh, how was that, by the way? Quickly.
Oh, it was so, so funny, dude. It was such a funny movie. Listeners, if you guys are Pokemon fans, this is certainly the movie for you guys. I mean, if you guys grew up playing, like, you know, Pokemon Red, Blue, or Yellow, or, like, you know, Silver, Gold, or, like, Ruby, Sapphire, this, you're going to really, really like this movie a lot. It's so cute. And Pikachu, who's voiced by Ryan Reynolds, is so cute in this movie. We had a really good time watching it. We saw it for a friend's birthday. But, dude, real quick, there was a cameo made in the movie by a very, very famous DJ. I'm not going to tell you who it is, listeners. I know you guys. I don't want to spoil anything for you guys, so I'm just respecting that. But, so a very famous DJ made a cameo in the movie, and also Rita Ora made an appearance in the movie. And if you guys didn't know, We talked about this, I think, about 2 weeks ago. The song Carry On, which is by Kygo and Rita Ora, is off of the Detective Pikachu soundtrack. Rita Ora actually made a cameo appearance in the movie, so I thought that was really neat as well.
That is really neat, you know, and I guess this is becoming kind of more of a trend, right? Isn't it interesting how DJs are now cameos and in movies?
One thing I was really pumped about, right, in Detective Pikachu, was that there was actually quite a bit of electronic music.
Oh, really?
In the movie, yeah, it was, and I was really, really kind of stoked on it. You know what I mean? And listeners, I mean, this is so typical of Alec and I, right? We go to a movie and we try to find how it all ties back to electronic music, right? But it's really interesting to see, because it's, again, electronic music melding with what is supposed to be a box office success in popular culture, right? Again, making electronic music more accessible to people who may not have listened to it previously before. I just thought it was awesome. And the way that they used the electronic music to kind of set the atmosphere, I thought it was perfect. There's a one scene in particular, and again, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but there's one scene in particular where they did that, and I just thought it was really dope. So, yeah, I hope we see more things like this. I think it would just make electronic music more well accepted and more revered in art.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, you know. But I wonder if people will, perhaps even younger generations, I wonder if they'll even identify as electronic music at first. Right?
Are you saying, like, if they'll identify it as electronic music versus, like, just regular kind of radio music?
Totally.
Oh, Alec, interesting.
Totally. Yeah. Because if you think about it now, even if you listen to the popular pop songs, right? A lot of them have kind of an electronic music type of feel to it. It's not electronic music, right? But it's just everything now really is quite literally electronic music, in the sense that it's, you know, produced, you know, through computers and things, right? And maybe they'll add in some instruments and stuff. But a lot of the popular, more mainstream songs now are produced in a similar way. So I really do wonder if some of the younger generation, if they really classify it as such a distinction, right?
Oh, man, that is such an interesting thought, Alec. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about this just in general, right? I mean, you look at it, man. I mean, we talked about it before. Someone like Marshmello going on, what was it?
Fortnite.
On Fortnite, you know, these Fortnite festivals, the Minecraft festival, like, they're clearly trying to, like, bridge this gap, you know? And so I really wonder if there's going to be, you know, I don't think there's going to have that separate distinction, right, as there kind of has been throughout time. Just as electronic music becomes more mainstream, you know, I think they'll definitely label it, but I don't think they're going to, you know, see kind of a divide between, oh, this is totally different from all types of music.
Wow.
Yeah, some deep thoughts. There we go.
Oh my God.
Looking for the future.
I'm gonna write a thesis on it.
Yeah,
dude.
You know what? I'll be right back. Well, I'm gonna go write my paper. I'll do a quick, you know, postgraduate doctorate on it. I don't know.
I love that, dude. I love that. Anyways, listeners, let's move on. We want to talk to you guys about something really, really interesting. We got Desert Hearts, right?
Yeah, so Desert Hearts is, you know, awesome. I picked this up, and I say it's relatively new. It is relatively new. I think it's, you know, 6 years old or something like that. But it's definitely not something that it wasn't on my radar until I came across a Mixmag article on it. And just quick side note, but Mixmag is awesome. If anyone listening to this podcast needs
fantastic
some
news,
if you really need to go see some news, and, like, they really delve into it. It's not, you know, these are like longer articles and stuff, but it's really if you just want to kind of get to the heart and soul of Electronic Music Mix Mag, does a fantastic job on that. So shout out to them. But what they mentioned I thought was really interesting, because they did more of a deep dive into this. And for those of you who haven't heard of Desert Hearts Festival, it takes place just outside of San Diego. And it's already happened, unfortunately, but it's definitely something that would be kind of on my radar for another year. But it's 80 hours of non-stop music.
I couldn't
even imagine that, man. I mean, it's quite literally non-stop. And it's only house and techno, by the way. But it's fantastic. You know, and what I really like about this too is that there's a kind of, this actually is perfect for this episode, there's a health and wellness type of aspect to this, right?
Nice.
Like it's definitely about self-expression and things like that. So, you know, it's got abstract art, everyone's kind of in psychedelic apparel. So if you're not really a fan of that, I think, you know, even if you're not a fan, it's definitely worth going, like, kind of put aside your judgments on that, because I think what you'll find is a really kind of liberating experience from it. So I don't know if you knew this, man, but instead of bouncers, they have jesters.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cute. I like that.
Yeah. And they, like, I guess this is like as you're coming into the festival, right? It doesn't really say, but I guess they apparently they demand the choice of this form of payment, which is a performance. So you have to do like a little dance or sing a little song, and then you're allowed to interact with this fortune teller, which is a DJ dressed in a doctor mask, and like a slew of other characters. And then it's like you're coming into the festival. Like, it's just really interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it's like totally
different. I love when promoters and you know, companies and production companies that put on festivals, I love when they get creative like this, man. And, you know, just by looking at the pictures and the venue, it just looked like such a really fun, carefree kind of atmosphere. People really seemed like they were having a great time. But, you know, it's small things like that really just add to the experience, man. I mean, this sounds great. I don't know if I can be at a festival that has music playing for 8 hours straight. Like, I think I'd get very cranky.
You mean
like,
80 hours?
Like, 80 hours straight. Yeah, exactly. 80 hours straight. I think I'd just get really cranky. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I would not be able to sleep.
I don't think people were there the entire time, but I mean, I would hope not. I mean,
No, I certainly don't think so either, but you know, I don't know, that seems like a lot.
But you know, this is kind of, to be honest though, this is taking a bit after the more European type of festivals.
Yeah.
There's quite a few festivals that kind of have this health and wellness, you know, aspect to it, and they go all night. Like, even when last summer when I went with my girlfriend to a hideout in Croatia,
right?
I mean, it is longer than American festivals are. And I mean, it was tougher to do than EDC.
Yeah.
So just quickly on that note, you have, it's 5 days long. 5 days long, and you have, in the middle of the day, starting at noon, you have yacht parties. Then you have pool parties starting at 2:30. There's a hour break at 8 p.m., but then the main festival, or like a two, three-hour break. And then at 11 p.m., the main festival starts and it ends at 8 a.m. And that is for 5 days straight.
Wow, hideout sounds like a marathon.
It is an absolute marathon. And so obviously you pick and choose what you can do, but like these kind of marathon events, you know, where there's just a bunch of DJs, and I guess the idea is to constantly just kind of have music playing and the vibe going, and you can, you know, it really becomes its own experience, right? Because it's just constantly going on, and you can kind of jump into that world and hop back out whenever you want.
Right.
So this seems kind of what, you know, this Desert Hearts Festival is trying to do. And you were mentioning to me, you've heard of them before because of the parties they throw, right?
Yeah, I've definitely heard of them before because they throw some parties around the U.S., but I had no idea that they also had their own festival as well. I'm like scrolling through the pictures, and it looks like a really, really fun time. I think this is definitely something I might be interested in checking out at some point in my life.
I mean, it is definitely flamboyant and just out there and crazy. It is totally, like, you know, it's just, you see the pictures. Again, this will be in our show notes. Like, it just looks, what people are wearing just looks wild. You know?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. I think, like, when I'm, you know, maybe there might come a time in my life where I feel like, okay, maybe I should, you know, try to do some more smaller festivals and experience those. I feel like Desert Hearts would be a really cool place to start. I definitely don't have the fashion sense as much as these people do.
I think
it'd just be kind of fun to get into, man.
It would be really cool. It's kind of, you know, and it's got kind of that carnival type of feel to it too.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Got that carnival vibe. And then just quickly to give you kind of the, you know, they get some really good big names in there. Will Clark was there this year.
Oh yeah.
Right. Kevin Anderson. Have you heard of him? By the way,
I don't think so.
He's not really big, but he's pretty good. You should definitely check him out. Cut Snake was there. That's something that people know. Archie Hamilton, you know, so they get some pretty good names, but it's also, I guess, good if you want to go see maybe some people in house and techno that you haven't heard of. But yeah, great, for great sure. festival. Definitely something that people should have on their radar because it's definitely now a mine.
Yeah, awesome, man. That's great. And then finally, to kind of cap off the news and culture section, Alec, you know, you found this one about Injuna Beats. They're doing a live stream on Twitch, which I think is interesting. I think...
like, what do you think on Twitch and stuff like that?
For sure, man. Yeah, I think, first of all, I think Twitch and streaming services like that are awesome, right? I think that it really kind of brings people closer and closer together in this world, especially if you have, like, a particular niche that you're interested in. Like, I know that it's, like, Twitch is used for people who game and who want to watch other people game. I think it's awesome. Like, I think people find a lot of enjoyment out of that. You know, we see live streams with Ultra Music Festival and Coachella. EDC Vegas has their own. Tomorrowland has their own. So we're no strangers to this, right? But when you have events like Injuna Beats, right, who is doing their shows in San Francisco and they're live streaming that, are we going to see more of this? Are we going to see more of events that are now not only happening live, but are also being broadcasted to your home? And I don't necessarily mean festivals. I mean shows, concerts, you know, one-off nights. Like, are we going to see more of this? Totally. That's what I'm interested to know.
100%, man. That is without a doubt in my mind. You know, and this ties again back into what we were doing. There's a reason why they're focusing on Twitch, on things like, you know, Fortnite, this online atmosphere, and just where people are just kind of like, you know, I guess, like, it's just a good platform, right? And it's you're definitely reaching a different demographic of people in general too, right? So it's totally expanding good. It, but it's also a really good marketing platform in general. Like, you know, a lot of marketers are looking at Twitch now as a platform for, you know, not just advertisements, but PR, you know, get some sponsorships in there. And I think this is kind of where Injuna Beats is going. But you know, Samir, it's really fascinating because, you know, it seems to me that, you know, you don't see this with rap.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, you don't.
Which is interesting.
You don't see, like, those one-off concerts. Yeah, no, like, with
which
rap.
Is interesting.
Yeah.
And is it because, you know, a lot of the games, like, if you notice, like, a lot of games, like, maybe not on you know, because Twitch is just a platform, so there's a bunch of different, you know, types of video games. But the video games kind of like, yeah, Fortnite and everything, it's kind of got this wacky type of feel to it, and like wacky, almost electronic music type of feel. You know, do you think that, yeah, might be the reason why?
That's a really good point, Alec. I think you're onto something there. I definitely think you're onto something there. But I'm trying to think of what could hold back, right, rap music from being broadcasted to something like this. I don't think there really is anything in particular like that, but here's the thing, right? Rap music has been around for quite some time. Everybody knows the genre. People know how to identify it. I think electronic music is still continuing to grow here in the U.S., and I think this is just another method to help electronic music grow in the U.S., especially because there's so many subgenres that fall under electronic music, right? I mean, look, everybody knows Big Room. Everybody knows, you know, like the big name artists like Calvin Harris or Marshmello that they'll identify on the radio. But not necessarily everybody knows artists like an Ilan Bluestone, a Jason Ross, a Spencer Brown, who were at this event and their sets were being broadcasted on Twitch. So I think this is just a way to give a spotlight to subgenres of electronic music that aren't as popular as what we hear on the radio today.
Totally. You know, and something we didn't mention, and I forgot to mention too, was that, you know, this wasn't just a live stream, but this is celebrating it's a music access partnership, right? So they're actually partnering up with them and giving gamers the royalty-free access to some of these DJs'
nice
music. Yeah, yeah, so they could put it in the background of their streams, right? So, I mean, this is absolutely huge. I mean, for instance,
right,
you're going to have gamers on Twitch being able to use... I don't know what exact songs they are, but they can use songs from Lane 8 and even Matt Zoe.
Wow, that's pretty big, man.
Right?
Wow.
You know,
and
so
also
royalty
free, yeah.
That's really,
yeah,
interesting to me.
I love that.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch. So, you know, if anyone was, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but if any of our listeners, you know, if you did kind of tune in and just see what it's like at live event and what people were thinking, you know, definitely give us a shout on social media. We'd love to hear your opinion and what you thought of it.
Awesome, man. That sounds great.
Totally.
All right.
Switching gears. This is going to be a fun one, man. I'm excited for this one.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to do some arm circles. I'm going to do some, you know, I'm going to like stretch out my neck and everything in my back, because I kind of started to get into this last week on the EDC Vegas special when we talked about the main stage at EDC, but now we're really going to go into it. All right, we're going to tear this one up. We're going to the anti-plur moment, listeners. We're talking about DJs who do gimmicky shit on stage, okay? And you know what? Maybe I have less of a tolerance for this than others, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to give you guys my opinion. Yeah, I think so. I'm going to give my opinion.
You definitely 100% do. Go on. Go on. Just rip into it.
I'm
going to
give my opinion on this. All right. The reason why this came up, right, is because last week, Alec mentioned that Salvatore Ganacci, you might know him from his most recent fucking crazy-ass music video, Horse, right? He just came out with this song called Horse and a music video for it. It's really wacky. Definitely go watch it. But Alec mentioned that Salvatore Ganacci is going to be at EDC Vegas, and I said, I fucking hate this guy, all right? And I do. Like him.
Spreading the love. Come on, man.
I know. I don't actually hate him. I just don't like his antics, man. I find his whole shtick to be so irritating, and it muddies what electronic music can be. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like,
okay, yeah.
You know, if the uninitiated, right, saw Salvatore Ganacci, and he did this, right? He literally did this, right? He, you know, saw him playing at Tomorrowland. He's like doing straight up fucking yoga poses on top of the decks and like jumping up and down and like, you know, putting his legs behind his head, you know, like, I just, like, what's up, dude? You know, he's telling people during his sets to relax their anuses. Like, it's just, like, don't tell me to relax my anus, all right, man? Like, it's like, I don't need your advice. You're not a doctor, all right? I hate this guy, and I don't hate him. I hate his antics, because I feel like it really kind of puts EDM in a bad light. Like, and I feel like that's why this guy has become so popular. It's because of the antics and the stuff that he gets involved with on stage that just kind of really propelled him and made him go viral in a way, right? I think what really kind of made him go viral was, number one, when he said, relax your anus. I think he said that at Tomorrowland 2017.
Try to relax your anus.
He started to do like just yoga poses and jumping up and down and like thrusting into the crowd at Tomorrowland 2018 on the main stage. So, you know, we got that. But it's not just him. It's not just him, right? There are other DJs who do really similar shit. And I think another one like this is Steve Aoki. Like, I don't understand why he needs to like throw cakes at people and into their face. He's not as bad, but he's like, and he does it like he does it at the end of his show, and like, I get it, like, it's something that's also made him pretty famous. But, you know, he'll like go up on rafts and like kind of crowd surf while he's in a raft at a show, and like, again, it's stuff like that. I just don't understand why people do that. Like, look, I'm not gonna be the kind of person who's gonna buy tickets to these guys to like go see them when they come to the New York City area, because I know what to expect, and it's just not something that I'm into. I feel like electronic music is kind of being disrespected and kind of thrown into a poor light when things like this happen.
Yeah. Okay, you know, interesting, man. You know, I never really thought about it from the perspective of it shedding a different light to electronic music. You know, I never really thought about it that way. But, you know, man, I don't know. I don't really have as much of a problem with this as you do. I think that Salvatore Ganacci, I think it's hilarious, frankly.
Right.
I would never see him. I would go for like 10 minutes, and I still may, because he's at EDC, right? I just want to pop my head in and just see the shit he does. It's just so freaking funny and just so random, you know? But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm not as worried about you as shedding a bad light onto electronic music. And here's why.
Yeah.
Is because I think really more of the point of this, right, it is not just to be, you know, just out there and just ridiculous and flamboyant, but it's kind of giving a little bit more of a light air to the music, because I feel like it can get pretty intense sometimes, you know, even when it's just, you know, it's great and it's fantastic, it's intense, but just overall, it's just quite an intense experience. You know, and he's providing this kind of like lighter air to it, and maybe is a way actually just to bring in people through the festival gates that may not have normally gone.
That's interesting.
Right? Like, you know, this is kind of like, if you think about it, I remember reading something about it, and they were saying, you know, I can't remember who it was, but this author was kind of saying like, you know, he's really the return of like the silly DJ. It's just like DJs are all so serious now. you know, and like everything from the marketing to the music, it's just quite serious. And he's just the absolute opposite.
Well, you know, dude, I think there's a tasteful way to do that, right? I think like with Dylan Francis, you know, he is a genuinely funny dude, and he does it not by like, not by thrusting into the crowd and like, you know, putting his, you know, legs behind his head and like telling people to relax their anuses. Like he does it with like with his visuals. He does it with like his Instagram posts. Like he's a funny dude. You know what I mean? But when he gets up on stage, he throws it down. You know, he plays diverse tracks. I love that. And I just think that Salvatore Ganacci maybe just takes it too far. Like I think he just, I think it gets to the point where people are not going there to listen to his music, but more so to just see what he does on stage, you know?
Yeah. And no,
I mean,
right.
How far is this guy willing to go? You know, I don't like it.
I guess. I mean, you know, but I don't really have just as much, what I would have more of a problem with, right? And this is why I'm glad that you kind of bring this up. I'm actually glad that he is like that and he's not trying to do like kind of an in-between. That would really piss me off, is that if he's trying to play a real set and then like just like he's, you know, if you're going to do it, you go the full way, right? Or you do kind of what Dylan Francis does, which is where he's not doing these theatrics on stage, but that's just his persona outside of it, right? So I think, you know, in a way, if someone was going to do it, at least he's going full out and not trying to be serious in any shape or form, right? But I think this is a tough one, man. I just don't think, I guess the reason why it doesn't grind my gears is because I don't really see any harm necessarily coming out of it, right? Definitely is the case with Steve Aoki, if not Salvatore Ganacci, because maybe Salvatore Ganacci does take it a bit too far sometimes, right? And it just becomes absolutely absurd. And it may seem like he's just making fun. It's all out of love, man. Like, he really genuinely cares for his fans. And
I just don't want to see, you know, our scene portrayed in a negative light. You know what I mean? Like, we are all representatives of this culture, right? We're all representatives of the EDM culture. And look, there are problems in the culture, right? We talk about it, and we're not afraid to talk about it. And, you know, it sometimes gets picked up by news media outlets, and it's always a shame when, you know, something that we enjoy so much gets shed in a negative light. I just don't want to see people continually adding to that by just doing nonsense that they can prevent, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely see your point, man, and I don't really know if there's any consensus that we can come to, just because it definitely is kind it's a tough one, but I definitely see your point, and I don't, I guess here's the thing, I'll concede a little bit on my position. I don't think we need more of this, right? We definitely do not need more of it, and we don't need more people doing this, okay? So I think that's kind of the end all be all, right? It's like, all right, fine, you got these, you know, these guys doing it. You got the Salvatore Ganacci, who I don't think anyone would ever match, actually. I don't think they could if they tried. He's just the perfect person for it. And just his face combined, just like everything. Like, you know how he does that stare?
Yeah.
Like, he has this one drop.
I can see
He has this one drop where he's not doing anything ridiculous. He's just standing there staring. And he's no movement. Right. He's just staring at people, just at the crowd. Yeah. And like, just like, come on, see, you laugh, but I get it, man. Like, it's kind of like, I do get it.
And maybe I can lighten up a little bit too. Maybe I've been spending too much time listening to techno and like,
yeah,
all black,
like, you know what I mean? Because like, techno is very serious. So but I get your point too. You bring up some valid points, man. And again, I guess we just certainly don't need more of it.
For sure, dude. Anyways, that was a good conversation, man. I'm glad we talked about that. It's always good to kind of hear another opinion. But Alec, Let's go into it, brother. We're going to go into it, man. The what are we listening to section for this week. We got great releases. I'm very excited to be talking about both of them. Two releases, one of which is from 13, the other one from Wookiee, who we are fans of. Alec, dude, you sent me the link to this song. 13. He came out with this track, Mirage. Bro, insane. That shit bangs. Like, we need to hear this live at EDC.
It's going to be, man. I mean, there's a reason why he released this just ahead of EDC, and he's been ramping up his production and just releasing a steady stream of songs for the last few months. And dude, I couldn't agree more. This song absolutely slaps. It is such it is just great, and I love what he's doing, because, you know, it's I think it's very easy if you're in this mid-tempo bass kind of subgenre, right, to kind of be very similar to Rez in a way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
exactly.
he does that. He perfectly treads that line where there is certainly that influence, but he's adding in just like these drops are just really, I love the sound design of it, man. And I love it because it's like, it's dubby, but it's not dub. You know what I mean? It's not dubstep exactly. Yeah. And it's just something where you could move to it. Like, it's got a real beat to it, you know, on these drops.
Yes.
And you could, especially with this song, right? Did you notice that? How it's like, it's something that is not necessarily a headbang song as much as it is something that you can really, like, kind of move to. And I love songs that do that, where it's not, you know, obviously I love a big headbang song too, right? But this is just something a little bit different.
Totally agreed, man. That's exactly it, Alec. You're right, you know, because I was kind of getting a little bit tired of the whole, like, everybody trying to copy Rez sound, you know what I mean? But I'm so, so happy that 13 is kind of making it fresh. And guys, keep in mind, right? 13 had also done a collaboration with Rez before. So I'm sure he's picked up on some pointers on production tips and, you know, sound design tips. But he took that mid-tempo bass sound, like Alec had said, and really kind of put his own spin on it. And I love the vocal sample on this track. I just love it, dude. It fits in so nicely and really kind of completes it here. So
I'm telling you, man, I don't know. I've got to just say, I might regret this later, but I'm calling it. I think this is going to be a top two, top three set of EDC.
Whoa,
totally,
dude.
Totally calling it. This is going to, I think, and just beyond that even, man, like this is going to be almost his coming out party, right? Like this is, this, I think this is going to launch him into a, you know, a higher stratosphere if there was one.
Next level.
Right. Like he, it's, again, I'm really saying this, it's very similar to when we were at EDC Las Vegas 2017 and we saw Rez. It's the same exact stage. Well, not this, you know, they change it a little bit, but it's the same stage. You know, I'm going to guarantee it's probably a similar set time. And it's just seems very similar. And, you know, I remember, you know, us saying, right, you know, that Rez set was just huge for it. And ever since that set, skyrocketed, right? Like, I think this is, you know, and I hope he, you know, there's probably a lot of pressure on him, so, you know, shout out to 13, but I'm calling it. I think if he does well, I think he's going to turn some heads, and this could be, you know, this is definitely gonna do well for him, but it could even potentially be one of the best sets that we see at EDC. So we'll see. I know, man. I know.
Listeners, we'll follow up with you guys. We'll definitely let you know our thoughts on EDC on the, you know, the week after EDC, where we're going to record an episode and give you guys our thoughts. But dude, that's a big prediction right there for 13. But let's also not forget about Wookiee coming out with some absolute fire, released on the Confession label, which we are huge fans of. We love Chami. That's his label. But I was also not kind of expecting this sound from Wookiee. I don't know about you, Alec, right? But he's got two tracks on this EP. It's called, the EP is called Two, like the number two. That's it. We'll have a link to this in our show notes, just like all the other songs. But Wookiee came out with a two-track EP. One of the tracks is titled NYC to LA, and the other one is titled Afraid to Rave. Alec, your thoughts. What did you think, bro?
Well, first of all, kind of addressing, you know, whether I expected this. I had actually read things, I think, from an interview. I believe I read it. It was post-Ultra or something like that, or some article. And it was talking about how, you know, Wookiee was really starting to, and he will start delving into other subgenres, right? And you could kind of see that in his sets too. Like, you know, I remember in that back to back with Quicks, you know, they had, it was definitely trap heavy and trap focused, but they had a few, you know, they threw in some house songs too. So I kind of could see this coming, but I definitely did not expect it to be of the quality that it was.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like,
I mean,
it's such a great, like, I know you agree with me, man, already, but NYC to LA, it's a really good song.
It is a good song. Yeah, exactly. And the fact that, I mean, Chami was able to just pick up on this EP, right? It just proves to you the quality and just how diverse Wookiee is,
he,
man. Because
really,
like, I think Wookiee,
man.
Dude. Yeah, I think Quicks back to back Wookiee at Ultra, great set, hard, heavy trap. Those guys absolutely murdered it. So when Alec, you had sent me this EP, you know, that was released on the Confession label, I was like, whoa, this is going to be interesting. And I was pleasantly surprised because, and yeah, NYC to LA is a banging song, but that's not to disparage Afraid to Rave. They're both very solid tracks.
But you know, it's too, he's even more diverse than that, man, because prior to, you know, Ultra 2018, so not this most recent Ultra, the Ultra before when they were at Bayfront Park, I was listening to Wookiee a lot before, and there wasn't too much in terms of his live sets, but I really wanted to see what he was doing. And I managed to find this video somewhere, and it was just like a little, it wasn't the full set, but it was some of it. But dude, he is very, very diverse, man. Like, that set was not, it was kind of similar to the Quirks back-to-back Wookiee, but that, you know, that was a little bit harder than what he was playing at this other set. And he was getting much more into like Moonbaton and stuff. I know you were saying that.
Oh, dude.
But like,
nice.
He, and if you look at his releases, they're all kind of a little bit different, right? You know, and I think this is perfect after your anti-plo moment. He does a good job with making it not be too serious either, but he's not he's not doing, you know, theatrics and stuff like that, right? He's a funny guy too, if you follow him on social media and stuff. And the lyrics of some of his songs are really kind of funny too. So he's almost like a Dylan Francis in that way. But I'm just very, very impressed with the diversity that he has from the production side of things.
Totally agreed, Alec. Very, very well said, dude. All right, Alec, bro, let's move into rating these two tracks that we're so stoked to be talking about here. Listeners, if you guys have heard this section before, feel free to skip ahead. But here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own rating scale. It goes level 1 through 5, with 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. Level 1 is called One Listen. And One Listen is where Alec and I will probably pick up a piece of music. We'll listen to it once, but that'll probably be the only time that we listen to it. But we encourage our listeners to also give it a listen and formulate your own opinions. So level 1 is One Listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. And it's where a piece of music comes on. You don't mind if it's in the background. You're doing your own thing. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You know, whatever. You're not going to make an attempt to skip it. It's just there to keep you company. So that's level 2, background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. This is pretty self-explanatory, but when a piece of music comes on, you're going to grab the volume knob. You're going to crank it up. Going to blast it out. So level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music from an artist and it compels you to want to look up their tour dates and to find tickets of when they're coming to your city next. And level 5 is speechless. Speechless is where it's just you and the music. Everything else kind of falls away, melts away, and that's all that you can see and that's all that you can focus on. So just going through it one more time, level 1 through 5. Level 1 is One Listen. Level 2 is background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. And level 5 is speechless. All right, Alec, what did you think of 13 and his track Mirage?
I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets. You know, this is just a fantastic song, man. You know, and it's just in line with the quality of the songs he's been putting out. You know, the only thing long term that I would be worried about is if he is able to diversify, you know, his originals. He doesn't have to now because he's really just making a name for himself and establishing that sound. But, you know, this is just such a great track. And even though it is similar to some of his other releases, it's different enough to the point where I'm like, okay, this is a separate song. And, you know, this is showing off his diversity. But in of itself, this song alone, if you took everything else out, right, may create a vacuum in this song, is just it. This is a fantastic song and just made me even more pumped to go see him.
Hell yeah, dude. I love that. And I'm right there with you, dude. This is a just bought tickets for me. I've heard some of 13's releases before, and there were times where I'm like, ah, this is a little bit too much like Rez, and I just was kind of cooling on it. But yeah, 13, you have really knocked it out of the park with this song, Mirage. This is a just bought tickets for me, and I will certainly be looking forward to hearing this track from you at EDC.
Perfect. Awesome, man. But Wookiee, too, you know, this would be an interesting one, man. What are you thinking about this? What are you rating it?
Bro, I'm giving this a just bought tickets as well.
Hell right? Yeah, nice.
I gotta say, yeah, this guy, I'm just shocked. I'm really, really shocked, and like I said, Alec, I mean, we've heard him before live at Ultra 2018. I've listened to his other edits as well. I mean, let's not forget Da 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 Da, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is such a classic.
Yeah, exactly. And so the fact that now he's coming out with this house EP, bro, the guy is so talented, man. He's really got that diversity in him, and every single set that you listen to him, it goes all over the place, but it's very cohesive. So this is a just bought tickets for me. What did you think?
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. Just bought tickets as well. I loved it. You know, even though I definitely liked NYC2LA a little bit more, I really enjoyed this EP, and this made me want to go see him again and just on his own. You know, I'd be really interested to see what his set's like now that he's dabbling in this house, you know, type of thing, right? I think his sets could be really fun and very entertaining. Like, I doubt that you'll get bored at a Wookiee set. So,
oh, totally, definitely, agree, totally definitely. Those guys tickets. Kept it moving.
100%.
Yeah,
no.
Those guys kept it moving at Ultra, and they'll definitely keep it moving the next time we see them live. But Bro, great solid releases here on Beyond the Beats, and now we're moving on to what is our favorite section of the show. We saved the best for last. We're going to be talking about some artists that we're watching this week, and of course, more talent that you guys need to hear, man. Oh my God, I love this part of this podcast because we just, sometimes I'm just shocked by what comes out of searching through like the depths of SoundCloud and YouTube, man. But Alec, tell me, man, who are you watching this week? What's going on?
So, you know, I think who I'm watching this week, I think, is a really good person to follow up with from the Aki interview. If listeners, if you haven't listened to that, definitely go back and check out our second artist spotlight. Aki's wonderful, wonderful person and is just insanely talented. But one of the things that's great about her is what she does outside of the music and is promoting some, you know, up and coming female DJs and producers. And, you know, I was inspired by that conversation, so I wanted to go out and find somebody as well who's up and coming. Nice. Right? And who, you know, a female DJ, because it's true, man, like, you know, you definitely got to give them a platform, and they're out there, you know, and they're really, really good. And this person, I was incredibly surprised by her, just because she's kind of come out from nowhere before this release. But dude, again, I mean, credit to both Charmy and his Confessions label, but also credit to her. She just released a song called Locked and Loaded. It's got this bass house, future house type of feel. You might have heard it before if you've seen Charmy. I believe I did, but you can hear it kind of building up right now. But take a listen to this song, Locked and Loaded, by the one and only Nostalgix.
How you find these people sometimes, man, but I love it. I love it. Great, great pick, dude. She absolutely murdered this track. And bro, once again, shout out to Confession and the folks behind that label as well for, you know, spotlighting or, you know, being able to recognize talent when they hear it, because she's got it. She's 100% got it.
Definitely, man. You know, and it's also worth, you know, you've also got to give a shout out. It's she does this song with Danny Time. Haven't heard of Danny Time either, but you know, shout out there for however much he was involved in. But Nostalgix, like, this is just a fantastic track, and quickly I'll delve into it, but I found a little bit more about her. She's still relatively unknown on Spotify. She has just over 4.5 K monthly listeners, so she's still, you know, building her way up. But she has a very, very interesting background, man. This is pretty cool. She was Iran born and Canada raised. Right, like, that's just already an interesting mix right there,
right,
of people. So she's just been going through, you know, this kind of bass house scene. And if you listen to some of her other songs, she's definitely got an influence from someone like Charmy, but she's really kind of got her own style on it, man. And like, you know, her releases are all pretty diverse from each other. They stay within that bass house, future house type of realm, but it's really, really interesting. So she's just been, you know, for the last, like, you know, 6 months, she's just been taking in inspiration apparently, and like just looking at all these different genres and trying to see the way that she can make them all fit into house music. So you know, she was DJing from the age of like 18. She was thriving apparently in that Vancouver, Canada scene, which would be great. I'd love to submit at one point, see what it's like over there. I've heard some good things.
Oh, for sure,
about
dude.
The underground, like, kind of like house and techno scene there. But you know, she's just been making her way up, but this is just definitely, you know, keep an eye out for her, man, because this is big to get picked up like this from, you know, kind of not really being on any major labels before to having this being picked up. This is fantastic.
Totally agreed, bro. Totally agreed. So yeah, man, thank you so much for introducing us to her. Listeners, you will be able to find the links to her socials and her SoundCloud and this song in our show notes, which is available on your podcasting app, but also available on Facebook. Dude, let me tell you, man. Let me tell you, all right? One thing I love about the electronic music scene is that talent can come from anywhere, right? And it can come from people of all backgrounds and all ages. And what's great is that if you have a computer, you know, and if you are able to download some DAWs, which is a digital audio workstation, you can really create something unique and something wonderful. And this guy, Akira, a 14-year-old from 14. Australia, right? 14, bro. And I'm not kidding. 14-year-old from Australia.
Another Aussie, though. Look at this. All the Australians,
I knew you were
going
to say that. I knew you were
going
to say that.
What is going on? This continent is just spewing out electronic music artists. Love it.
Bro, I have no idea. I have no idea. But I had a feeling you were going to say that. As soon as I put it into my show notes that this person is from Australia, I was like, Alec is going to say, another Aussie. Another Aussie.
It is. It's crazy. I love it, though. Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah, sorry, continue on. This is really interesting. 14. Wow.
Yeah, 14-year-old from Australia got this amazing, amazing track. It's called Arcade. It's got this amazing track called Arcade. And this guy only has 1,000 followers on SoundCloud and only 1,200 followers on Instagram. But man, listen to this song, Arcade. Listeners, I think you guys are going to really like it. If you like your harder, bassier music, check it out.
Wow, man, you know, I'm really impressed by this. This is pretty damn good for anybody, let alone a 14-year-old.
Seriously, dude, that's why I just love electronic music so much, because it can come from anywhere. I mean, people can really pick it up if they have just, you know, limited access to things like a computer and, you know, to like a digital audio workstation. And there's free ones out there, but this is so cool. And I'm so, so impressed by what Akira is already doing and accomplishing at an age of 14 years old. And I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like that awesome pickup there, you know. And quickly, just kind of like to end this off, did you notice how, again, like there's this kind of like, I guess it's kind of arcade-like feel to it. And this gaming kind of like feel to it, right? It's interesting. I really am saying, like, and he's of the next generation.
Thank you for mentioning that, because he did say that he had sampled Sonic the Hedgehog and Pac-Man
it was.
To make this
I
track.
Was yeah, hearing exactly. it, man. Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hats off.
Yeah, listeners, if you guys like your retro gaming, you know, throwbacks, definitely check out this song. I think it's going to give you a nice nostalgia kick. And this song is, again, Arcade by Akira.
Love it, man.
So, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that was a good episode. You know, I really enjoyed this one.
Bro, me too. Yeah, it was fun doing the EDC Vegas special, but it's also fun, you know, getting back to our
Definitely.
Normal routine here on Beyond the Beats. So, listeners, you know, hit that subscribe button, share this show with your friends. And once again, thank you guys so much for such great positive feedback on our EDC Vegas special. It truly, truly means a lot to us. And Alec and I, like, every single piece of feedback, you know, we share it back and forth. You know,
yeah.
We just get very, very excited when people are enjoying the you know, the effort of putting together this podcast.
Definitely, man.
We love that.
Definitely, you know, and on that note, just keep the feedback coming. And I love that people were really liking it. It's been, you know, overwhelmingly positive, and, you know, it's exceeded my expectations in terms of how people would take
yeah.
it this early on in this podcast, you know, development. But seriously, if you have any recommendations on how to improve this, what we could be doing better, what we could be including more of, please, you know, reach out, you know, let us know. Like, we want to hear not just the positive things, but anything that you think could be doing better. We want to work with everybody. We want really write something, like, you know, part of this podcast is that, you know, we're just two regular people who really enjoy electronic music. And, you know, I'd love to get, you know, kind of people involved, even if they're not actually physically involved with the episode. But if you help us create something here that fills in a niche and a gap, right? But we need you guys even more so to help us with that. So definitely reach out if you have
yeah.
any recommendations or anything like that.
Absolutely agreed, man. But Alec, I'll see you very, very soon, dude.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir. Very soon. Can't wait, Samir. It's been great chatting with you again. And listeners, thank you so much for joining.
All right, guys. See you at EDC Vegas. Peace.